From Prince Valiant to Peanuts, Bloom County to Calvin and Hobbes, comic strips have been a fixture in newspapers for over 100 years. But with many newspapers now going out of business or switching to web-only formats, the comic strip is in the midst of a very difficult transition.
Our next guest tells the story of the comic strip in a new documentary. Frederick Schroeder is a cinematographer and filmmaker. Dave Kellett is the creator and cartoonist of webcomics Sheldon and Drive. Their new film is called Stripped, and it opens tomorrow on iTunes. Dave, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having us.
And Frederick, good to have you along, too.
Oh, thanks for having us, yes.
Well, Dave, I want to start with you. Could you walk us through some of your earliest and obviously very powerful comic strip memories?
Absolutely. I have a really strong memory, as so many people do, of being on the floor with the Sunday comics spread out in front of me, and they felt like they were five times bigger than me. And it was a world that I could just dive into. I love the colors. I love the characters. I loved the passion and the humor that a cartoonist would create. And it was a joy that sort of lasted with me into adulthood.
What were your early faves?
Oh, I remember growing up and absolutely loving Bloom County and Calvin and Hobbes and The Far Side. I was sort of a child of the 80s, so those were the sort of the triumvirate for me. And then as I got older, I started to explore, you know, cartoons from the pre-war years and just saw a whole century of amazing stuff being produced in the U.S. and Canada.
And Frederick, we'd like to bring you into the conversation right now. You know, it's hard to believe that with the history of the comics that we haven't seen something like this already. What led you and Dave to undertake this, what I suppose to be just a massive undertaking of sort of documenting the comics?
Well, that was our feeling, too. When we started talking about it, we couldn't believe that there wasn't a movie talking about comics, this medium that, you know, is as American as jazz or, you know, baseball. And we couldn't imagine that no one had sort of, you know, delved into this subject fully. So originally I had approached Dave about making a documentary about artist studios, and I wanted to show, you know, a painter and a cartoonist and a sculptor. And Dave was the one who sort of came back and said, well, have you thought about focusing just on cartoonists and cartooning, especially now, because this could be an art form that may not be around for much longer. And so we felt it was important to document this. And this was, 4 years ago. So documentaries take a little bit of time for the scope that we did, because we ended up visiting over 70 cartoonist studios for it.
Yeah, and as I understand it, and I've seen the trailer, I haven't seen the film yet, but the path that you chose is this sort of period of transition we're in right now for newspapers, but that definitely has an effect on the world of the comics.
Oh, for sure. We hope that comics in our doc sort of stands in for what's happened to music, what's happening to movies and TV in this sort of curious transition from analog to digital, with the internet has sort of changed everything and the way that everybody consumes things. So we felt it was sort of an important medium to concentrate for that transition. But I think it's applicable for a lot of other art forms that have gone through that difficult time in recent years.
Now, you talked about how you got some 70 comic writers to come on and talk about their art form. And one voice that you got, who is famously reclusive, he's sort of the J.D. Salinger of comics, Bill Watterson, the creator of Calvin and Hobbes. How did you end up getting him?
Well, we were very lucky, I think, in that, for one thing, he's a very kind man and a big believer in the art form of comics. So when he saw that here were two filmmakers trying to take a serious and heartfelt look at the comics page and the power of that art form, I think that resonated with him. And I think it also helped that for one, there was a cartoonist among the crew working on the film, and that also that we had done at that point maybe 20 or 30 interviews before we approached him. And I think word had sort of trickled back in the cartooning community that here were two filmmakers that weren't out to do any kind of diminishing look at comics or even an attack-style look at comics, but something that was almost a love letter to comics and looking at it from a serious perspective. And so I think all that sort of helped weigh his decision. But ultimately, it came down to him being an incredibly, incredibly kind man, and we couldn't be more thankful to him for that.
And we have just a little clip of his voice from the trailer. Here's a clip of Bill Watterson, creator of Calvin and Hobbes.
In the right hands, a comic strip attains a beauty and an elegance that really I'd put against any other art.
Now, Bill Watterson also drew the poster art for Stripped. How did that come about?
That was really an act of generosity from Bill Watterson. You know, it's sort of 95% his generosity and 5% us, you know, asking. And basically it was when we set out to do the movie, we thought, you know, who would be number one on our list to talk to? And it was Bill Watterson because he had such an influence, I think, on both of us and on just about every cartoonist, you know, our age. And so we never thought we would get him. And when he agreed to do it, we were so taken aback and grateful of that. When it came time to put the poster together, we sort of had the same thought that the person we'd most like to do the poster would be Bill Watterson, but we never thought, you know, he'll never do this. And basically we asked him, you know, emailed him, said, you know, would you be willing to do this? And he said, well, can I look at the movie first? And we nervously sent over the film, and he liked it enough to sort of come back and say, well, you know, I haven't done a comic in 19 years. I hope I remember how to do it, but I have an idea. And we let him go, and he came up with a great illustration.
Well, this is radio, so we're going to ask you to describe the picture for us, because once I saw the whole thing, it was very, very cool. I have to say that.
Yeah. So the title of the film, as you remember, is Stripped, which is sort of a wonderful play on words for comic strips. And he picked up on that for the poster image, and he drew, I guess, what you would call a cartoonist in their 50s or 60s, holding a newspaper with a big headline that says, Bye-bye Newspapers. And the cartoonist at his drawing board is reacting with shock, so much so that all his clothes are flying off of him. So he's standing there absolutely stripped naked. And then sort of as your eye, you know, takes that in, after a minute you notice that the cartoonist dog in the foreground is flipping through an iPad in the foreground. And so it's a really nice composition, very funny, and it's so appropriate to his style and yet so different. And it just came out wonderful.
Yeah, I have to say, it took me a while to figure it out, but then again, I'm a little slow. And then once I did, we had it. We're talking to Frederick Schrader and Dave Kellett. They are co-directors of the documentary Stripped, about the past, present, and future of comic strips and the people who create them.
And you can join in. We want to know what your favorite comic strip of all time is. And do you have a favorite web comic maybe that you still read today? Is there one that you read as a kid and you've introduced maybe to your children? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234 or send us an email to talk@wpr.org.
Teachers have been telling stories for a long, long time. So I'm gonna tell you all about it with this rhyme. Here we go. If you go to Lascaux, France, you'd see paintings in a cave. Next,
you're listening to Central Time. I'm Jean Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is a song by Kate Micucci from the new documentary Stripped, telling the story of comic strips.
And we're joined by the directors of the documentary with us, Frederick Schrader and Dave Kellett. And we're asking you to join us as well at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite comic strip, past or present? And does the fact that a lot of comic strips these days are winding up on the web make a difference? Or do you prefer to have them on the pages of your good old newspaper? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. Dave, before the break, we were talking a little bit about that poster that Bill Watterson drew, and the headline, the Goodbye Newspapers headline there. And from your perspective, as somebody who is in the business, I hate to use cliches, but it sure sounds like a game changer to me.
Yeah, it's absolutely a game changer. But the good news for comics, I think, is that it doesn't mean the end of the medium. The platforms change, but the art form survives, thankfully. And in some respects, it becomes more powerful, because when you remove the middleman of the newspaper, the editor, the syndicate,
it's this direct artist-to-audience relationship. And so in some respects, it becomes a more powerful, more engaging, more hilarious, for lack of a better phrase, relationship between this comic creator and the reader. So I think the future is actually very bright for comics, and the film reflects that optimism.
What about the way that the comics themselves are drawn, Dave? Because I think about a cartoonist, I think about someone who's sitting down with a pen in their hand or a brush, and they're creating by hand instead of a mouse and a computer screen. How has that changed things?
Oh, well, that's absolutely changing as well. So I do two strips. Sheldon is sort of an all-ages strip that I draw in traditional ways with a Bristol board paper and pen and ink and brush. And it's a sort of a handcrafted, you know, traditional system. And then my science fiction strip, Drive, I draw using what most readers or most listeners wouldn't be familiar with. It's called a Cintiq. And it's basically digital paper. It's a giant monitor that's specially built for a pen, so that you can draw right on it. And so that never exists in the physical world. It only exists digitally. I sort of dip and dive back and forth, and that's true with many cartoonists now. Some don't even touch a pen or a paper ever in their career anymore, and that's completely different than how it was even 10 years ago.
Do the drawings still have voice? You know, when I think about the Peanuts cartoons, the drawings had such character and such individuality. Can you get that when you're using digital tools?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really doesn't change anything in terms of the final product to what you or I would see as the final comic strip, aside from maybe some technical stuff that can change. Really, it's still the same thing of a single person sitting down at a desk. Now it's just with a digital piece of paper rather than a physical piece of paper and drawing a little multiple-panel comic strip for you to take in on a day-to-day basis. So there's very much still characters, there's still arcs, there's still personal stories that are poured into it, and the relationship is just as strong as ever. It's just a very different way to create it.
To me, it's very similar to, for filmmaking, it's the difference between shooting on film and shooting on, you know, with a digital camera. You know, it's just the technology that's changed, but it's the expression is still very much the same.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So one of the things that I'd like to ask about is sort of the impact, because you both talked a little bit about that relationship that the cartoonist has with their audience. But, you know, if you think of something like Peanuts or maybe even Bloom County or Calvin and Hobbes, those things they were sort of part of the pop culture. Are those days of having a cartoon that had that kind of impact gone, or is it just moving to a different place?
Well, no, I think Fred and I and most cartoonists would agree that that's absolutely changing. But that's true if you think about it with American culture in general. You know, it used to be that everybody would sit down at the end of the day and watch Johnny Carson. And now you and I might have completely different tastes in television because we have 300 channels on cable. So, and the same is true with music. It's true with the fiction we read. It's true with the comics we get. So we no longer have sort of the water cooler comics that everybody in the office would chat about the next morning. But the upside to that is that we have more cartoonists speaking to more voices and different audiences that never were written for before. So in many ways, it's broadening the audience and speaking more passionately to specifics than it was to general, broader audiences.
And we're going to go to the phones right now. We've got some folks waiting to talk to you both. And by the way, we have an open line for you to join in. Tell us about your favorite comic strip growing up and maybe one that you still love now. What about one maybe you passed on to your kids? 1-800-642-1234 is our number. And we go to Maureen in La Crosse. Hi, Maureen.
Hi. And I'm calling about a relatively new comic strip that I read in Egg Review. It's a farm newspaper based out of Madison, but kind of covers a three-state area, and it's called Lean on Leon.
Uh-huh, and what is that one about?
Well, it kind of talks about different things that you would run into with modern-day farming versus maybe older-time farming, and how all the changes, when you stop and think about them, can be kind of funny. So I look forward to reading that one every week.
And that one is in an actual newspaper, right?
It is in an actual newspaper, Egg Review.
Excellent.
It's a farm newspaper.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Maureen, for telling us about Lean on Leon. I don't know if you guys have heard of that one, maybe Dave, but there's apparently still a market for cartoons that are printed in newspapers, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And what's nice is there's, like I said, the audience is still out there. You know, everyone sort of thinks of comics as being written for kids. And in a way, they were always sort of written for adults. They just took kids in mind. So there's still definitely millions and millions, tens of millions of people that love to read comic strips on a day-to-day basis.
It's also interesting how flexible the medium is, that it could service, you know, people who are interested in farming or video games or whatever subject under the sun, you know, like you could make a comic strip just about anything.
Let's go back to the phones right now, and we've got another caller who'd like to join in. Chris is with us from Middleton. Hi, Chris.
Good afternoon. You folks don't know it, but you just performed a wonderful service. You reminded me that Stephen Pastis of Pearls Before Swine is appearing in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock, they had a room of one's own. And I would have forgotten it if I hadn't heard this. My question is, you know, I think of Pastis and a lot of people, maybe including Bill Watterson, as kind of the young Turks in comics. Like, there's been a real generational change. First, is that right? And who do you focus on in your movie? Who are the folks that you are actually talking to?
Great question, Chris. Thanks so much. And Frederick, how about if you take a shot at that one?
Well, Stephen Pastis is actually in our movie, and he was one of the more interesting and animated interviews that we had. We sort of got into a little bit of a debate with him over the future of comics, and so he's definitely highlighted in the film. But other people we talked to were, you know, Kathy Geiswise, who did Kathy, Jim Davis, who does Garfield, Kate Beaton, who does a webcomic called Hark a Vagrant, among about 55 other people that actually made it on screen. Who else, Dave? Who am I forgetting?
Well, bigger ones that folks might know from online, Penny Arcade, The Oatmeal, and from the newspaper page, Family Circus, Foxtrot, and the list goes on and on. And the nice thing is, I think we kind of, even though this sounds, when you say 55 different voices, even though that's a lot of people in a film, I think everybody sort of gets to chime in a meaningful way, and the pace of the film doesn't really lag because we have such a varied chorus of voices in the film.
And Dave, I want to ask you, you know, we've been talking about the difficulties that cartoonists can face as newspapers go away and struggle, and that cartoonists are making the transition to the web. Is there a new generation of artists who have never worked in print and the web is the only medium they know?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that the generation that's coming up now, and even it's already professionals, kind of don't have and never did have the desire to be in newspapers because they didn't grow up with it themselves in the house. So it's a totally new generation of cartoonists. And they're very different from the traditional syndicated cartoonists in the same way that, like, a Robert Crumb would have been very different from a syndicated cartoonist. It's just a very different kind of personality. They're more entrepreneurial. They're more likely to wear all the hats. And they control not only their own business, but they have complete and total voice to their audience. So they have a direct line. So it breeds a very different personality of the artist that's attracted to that.
So it sounds
the other
like...
thing that,
go ahead. Go ahead.
The other thing that I found was super interesting is that there's a whole generation of people that are discovering comics for the first time on the internet and really have no idea that comics are in the newspaper as well. There's a whole generation, you know, that's web savvy, that's where they find comics, and that's the only place they find comics.
Now, the two of you sound like you're pretty optimistic about this transition to the web, but is there a danger that comics could slip between the cracks and lose their relevancy, stop being a cultural touchstone for America as a whole?
I think there is a danger of that, just because everyone's attention is now, everybody is sort of vying for your attention, and there's so many different mediums out there, from video games to television, to web videos, that comics, I think it's very difficult for them to have the same kind of influence they had in, say, the 40s or 50s or even the 80s with something like Garfield. So I think it is a problem, but at the same time, it's also an opportunity to reach so many more people and so many different kinds of people that were never serviced by traditional comic strips.
So let's talk we've just got a couple minutes left in the program here. Who are some of the emerging artists that people should be paying attention to?
Oh, wow, that's a really good question. There's probably 36 I could name right off the bat. A few I'll name and a few Fred can name. I think Ryan North with Dinosaur Comics has some of the sharpest writing going, as does Kate Beaton of Hark a Vagrant. I think for gaming-type strips, PvP and Penny Arcade are fantastic. I think the Oatmeal has some amazing sarcasm and cynicism in his work that I enjoy immensely. Fred, who else would you chime in with?
Well, for me, I was a big fan of the old adventure strips like Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon. And there's a strip called The Abominable Charles Christopher that Canadian cartoonist Carl Kershaw does that I think is just beautifully done and an amazing strip to view online, especially.
And Fred, in our last 30 seconds here, your film is opening on iTunes, it sounds like, huh?
Yes, tomorrow we're doing a big launch on iTunes, and we're trying to be the first sort of truly independent movie to get to number one. So we're trying, at least for a day, and so we're trying to get as many possible hits on that as we can. So if you have iTunes and are Apple friendly, please go and pick up Strip Film tomorrow.
And you can find the link on strippedfilm.com. And so tomorrow's the big push to get to number one.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
That was Frederick Schroeder and Dave Kellett, co-directors of the documentary Stripped. It's released tomorrow on iTunes.